Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, and also to welcome the four individual, distinguished, and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. Well, we welcome back a most diverse and individual comedian, a great young star of today, that is Graham Norton, another individual humorous performer, Stephen Frost, a distinguished actor, Martin Jarvis, and also a most individual and erudite personality in Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual in this show, I am going to ask them to speak for just a minute, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Gateway Theatre in Chester. We were here a little while ago, and they've asked us back. So, Clement, will you begin today? And the subject is spice. Tell us something about spice in just a minute, starting now.
The root of the word spice is merchandise, is what people brought back from Java and Sumatra, from the West Indies, from Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, all those places. And today, we seem to think that spice means ginger, heroin, pepper, chili, cumin, caraway, all the things that you add to breads or pastries or curries in order to make them more delicious, stronger, hotter.
Martin Jarvis, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah, definitely hesitation. Yes, he was trying to do all those wonderful listings, which is very clever, but he slipped up there and he hesitated, so that's a point to you, Martin, for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. It is spice. There are 22 seconds available, starting now.
Baby, scary, posh, sporty, and the other one that he's already mentioned. The variety is the life of spice, I suppose you could say. Tommy Trinder, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Jimmy Edwards, all added to this wonderful mix down at the Windmill Theatre, where I believe Nicholas Parsons once appeared.
Yes, I indeed. I don't know whether clapping my appearance at the Windmill Theatre or the fact that you were speaking as the whistle went, Martin, so you gain a point for doing that, and at the end of that round, you have a commanding lead over everybody else. Anyway, oh, you begin the next round, Martin. Oh. Down on your uppers. What a good subject. Speak on it if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
Some would say I was already down on my uppers by appearing on the same stage with Nicholas Parsons, but I would absolutely attack them for that, because Nicholas Parsons is a highly distinguished performer.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas Parsons.
I know.
I don't think you can say the name too often.
No. Yes, some have said that before, but down on your uppers, Clement, a correct challenge, and you have 50 seconds available starting now.
When you run short of Viagra pills, you could be said to be down on your uppers. There are other enhancing... The common uppers that people take today are appetite-depressing pills, anything to make you cheerful against the normal nature of your temperament. Uppers at a chemist shop are sold by prescription.
Stephen Frost,
I just think this is a bad influence on any young people who are listening. You're telling them how to take drugs, what drugs to take, and where to get them.
Have you got a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Sorry.
Try hesitation.
I've not had this game yet, have I? No.
Right, you're going to try hesitation.
Hesitation.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not a secondary challenge because he challenged first.
You can't try that again, Nicholas.
No.
This won't be pretty, everyone.
No, Stephen, he did actually hesitate. And 20 seconds, down on your uppers with you, Stephen, starting now.
The expression down on your uppers has a very fascinating history. Unfortunately, I don't know it. But I can tell you that when I was a young boy, I was only 5 years old.
Graham Norton's
hesitation,
right. We want to hear from you now on Down on Your Upper, 7 seconds available, starting now.
I well remember that unfortunate incident with honey and an old duvet that resulted with much down on my...
So, as I said before, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Graham Norton. Stephen, you begin the next round. Oh, what a lovely subject. Bodice ripper. Someone's scratching their bodices down there in the audience. That is the subject, Stephen. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Go into any bookshop in your local high street and you will find on the top shelf a series of bodice rippers. Novels written by people who base the story on sex, lust, and horses, usually. Now, these books sell very well, but frankly, I've read a couple of them, well, several hundred, and I've noticed...
Graham, your challenge.
Well, surely that's repetition, then. Let's face it, the plots don't vary.
It's a repetitious thought, but it's not repeating the words within just a minute. So give Graham a point because his interruption was worthwhile and the audience applauded him. And, Stephen, you get a point because you were interrupted. You keep the subject. 39 seconds available. Bodice ripper starting now.
Usually on the front, there's a picture of a lung lady...
A lung.
It's one of our doctors. It'd be a picture of
Martin, you challenge first.
I think it was hesitation, wasn't it?
I think it was deviation as well. 37 seconds. Bodice rippers with you, Martin, starting now.
A few years ago, I used to appear on Saturday Night Theatre on the wireless, and there were a series of bodice rippers in which when you kissed the girl, you did this. Mmm, darling, I love you.
And it's very important challenge.
Now, if it's repetition,
So, Graham, correct challenge.
Yes.
Repetition.
All right.
24 seconds. Bodice ripper, starting now.
Bodice ripper was famously the wife of Jack. She had a terrible time trying to keep her house in order. The curtains were in shreds constantly. It was worse than living with a cat. The sofa covers made her blush. She wouldn't have visitors. No, she would refuse to answer the door.
So, Graham Norton then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taken a lead ahead of Martin Jarvis and then Clement Freud and Stephen Frost in that order. And, Graham, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject is A Piece of My Mind. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Once, when I was young, I misbehaved a little, and my mother gave me a piece of her mind. I keep it in a large bell jar. A masterpiece.
Martin challenged.
It's a piece of her mind. We want to hear about a piece of his mind.
It is my mind now. She gave it to me.
All right.
No, Martin, he wasn't deviating from the rules of just a minute. So, right. Graham, another point to you. 51 seconds available. A piece of my mind starting now.
I think the people who say things like, I'm going to present you with a piece of my mind, are usually being very generous indeed, because they normally don't...
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation, beginning of course.
I don't think he quite hesitated.
It's my accent.
I think he was teetering on the point of hesitation but didn't quite achieve it. And so another point to you, Graham, and 38 seconds, a piece of my mind starting now.
Thanks to the wonders of the mobile phone, a piece of my mind now looks like a bit of sautéed chicken. I imagine I could just peel back my ear and slice it off and eat it. And it probably would taste like that beast I mentioned before, the one with the wings and the beady eyes that looks too stupid to be feel sorry for in a battery-type operation. Oh, how I love being here in Chester. My mind is in pieces. I'm so happy. I wonder if any of the cast of Hollyoaks are in tonight. I dream of them. My mind is full of them.
So Graham Norton again kept going to the whistle and gained that extra point and has increased his lead, and I'm surprised they didn't challenge you for deviation, bringing in Chester. Mind you, you can't mention Chester too often, can you? Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject is has-beens. 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Has-beens is an extraordinary subject to give to a program in which the average age of the contestants is deceased. I believe I would like to give them a piece of my mind, but I missed the last round, so let me talk about has-beens as presumably it was meant to be spoken of. They are climbing leguminous plants that have beans which are known as broad, fresh, mungo, arico, flat, runner. And sometimes, instead of people sitting on a pavement sending you the big issue, they say, has-beens will travel. Those people, I think, refer to...
Stephen Frost challenge.
Repetition of people there. People selling you big issues.
That's right, and people on the street. Right, well done. Well, listen, then you've got in with 9 seconds to go, and subject has been starting now.
I was walking along the street, and someone said to me, you're Stephen Frost. Who did you used to be? And this happens quite a lot, not only to myself, but to fellow performers in this...
So Stephen Frost speaking as the whistle went again, that extra point. He's moved 49, second place behind Graham Norton, who's in the lead, and then Martin Jarvis and Clement Freud. And Martin, your turn to begin. The subject, aphrodisiac. Talk on the subject of aphrodisiac starting now.
I'd like to give you a recipe for an aphrodisiac, which, of course, is a love potion. First, you take some pink champagne, you pour into it Cointreau, apricot brandy, some BBC water, and a strawberry. You mix it all up, and you toss it off.
But, Clement, you challenged.
It's disgusting.
I know it is, but that's not one of the rules of Just a Minute. You can obviously...
I was saving him from himself and his audience.
You have
and
no
his
other...
son, who might have been listening.
Yes. You have no other challenge except disgust. So in that case, Martin, it's an incorrect challenge. You get another point, and you keep the subject, and you have 40 seconds on aphrodisiac starting now.
People who have extraordinary minds do not understand what an aphrodisiac is all about. Surely the thing is you have to pour the kind of...
Clement Freud challenge.
He has already poured.
You have already poured.
I have already poured.
Yeah. You like his aphrodisiac. maybe it's the way he does it. 32 seconds available. Aphrodisiac with you, Clement, starting now.
In Brittany, I was once sold an oyster which was reputed to have such powers that if you didn't eat it quickly, you got a stiff neck. Now, there is an advantage. What an example of an aphrodisiac. I don't myself believe in the aphrodisiac qualities of food, because for me, it is much more important to eat semolina pudding with someone who turns me on than to wallow...
So, Clement Freud got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and now he and Martin Jarvis and Stephen Frost are all equal in second place behind our leader, Graham Norton. And, Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject, a mixed bag. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
When I look out into the audience and see the faces of the people here, I'd say we'd have a mixed bag. Tall people, short women, older-type humanoids, and, of course... a few children. Definitely a mixed bag, but that makes for a good show, a great atmosphere, and, of course, a marvellous...
Clement Freud challenge.
Great, we've had, and of course, before.
We've had great, and of course, yes. 39 seconds for you, Clement. A mixed bag starting now.
If we were to go out shooting, and you came back with a pheasant, a partridge, a woodcock, and a swallow. That is roughly what is known as a mixed bag. It is a variety of things which you have shot with your gun and put into a container known as a bag, although weighed in a basket or a black plastic bucket, it would also be known as a bag because that's the way things are. But mixed bags is an expression which is also used in respect of audiences, crowds at football matches, people who go to cinema.
With great discipline of mind and ingenuity, Clement Roy struggled on to the whistle when gained the extra point, and he's moved forward into second place ahead of Martin Jarvis and Stephen Frost, but still trailing Graham Norton. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the city walls. Clement, that is the subject. Talk on it. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The city walls were built very many years ago in order to stop people getting out of Chester. It was simply a case that they were racing away to Manchester, Liverpool, Nuneaton, Tamworth, you name it.
Graham.
No, you wouldn't go to Nuneaton. This is better than Nuneaton. Even now.
Graham, we give you the subject. 41 seconds available. The city walls starting now.
I did admire the city walls of Chester today, but a question struck me. Where were the city skirting boards? Where were the city cornices? Don't you watch changing rooms? Can't you buy stencils in this fine town? Which is, in fact, a city. We all know that. Don't go on. I thought to myself, surely in a city where it's easier to buy a crystal and a packet of potpourri than a pint of milk, you could find a stencil. I've said stencil again. I'll say it again because they're supposed to be repeated. That's how you create a pattern.
Right. Clement challenged you just before the end.
He repeated stencil.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah.
Clement, a correct challenge. 1 second on the city wall starting now.
Time the whistle blew.
did I say 1 minute instead of 1 second? Because it was the longest second I've ever heard, if it was.
A fine round that was.
Yes. But Janet said, well, I completely confused her. She sits beside me, listeners, and I looked at her, and she took a whistle out of her mouth. Which,
dear diary.
Let's carry on with just a minute. Stephen Frost, it's your turn to begin. The subject, oh, what a lovely one, the kiss of life. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Make sure the body is in the correct position. Flat on the floor, with the head held back, no tongue blocking the throat, pinch the top of the nose with your forefinger and thumb, and blow gently. This way, the air will flow into the lungs of the person who you are giving the kiss of life, and hopefully they will come back to life. Unless, of course, you don't want them to, then suck heavily. Make sure that your hands are kept in the correct positions, maintaining the textbook.
Martin Jarvis, you've challenged.
I really hesitate myself to challenge such a brilliant example of how we should all behave in times of emergency.
What, sucking?
No, it was a brilliant display of exactly what we should all be doing.
Yes, nevertheless,
there was some hesitation.
Yeah. There was a hesitation. So, Martin, you have a correct challenge. You have another point, of course, and 26 seconds on The Kiss of Life, starting now.
I endorse what Stephen Frost was just saying. I have been given...
Graham Norton challenge.
But that has to be repetition, then.
What? No. It is words that matter in just a minute, not the thoughts. So he was endorsing it. He said he endorsed it, but he didn't repeat any words.
No. Yet.
Oh, keen, right. Martin, another point to you for an incorrect challenge. The kiss of life is still with you.
That well-known actor, Roy Marsden, gave this thing to me in a film, and unfortunately he had to put his mouth over mine about 7 times because it took that long to get the shot. It was great in one sense, but embarrassing next to him at lunch because I felt I knew him better than I knew him before.
A Kenneth Roy challenge.
Two news.
I knew him.
Yeah, oh,
yes,
yeah.
And I knew him before. So, Clement, a correct challenge. You have 6 seconds. You tell us something about the kiss of life, starting now.
Ideally, the person to whom you give the kiss of life should be fairly close to death.
So Clement Royd was then speaking as a whistle away and gained that extra point, and he has moved forward. Martin, yes. Jarvis, your turn to begin. The subject, oh, what a nice one, non-stick pans. Tell us something about non-stick pans in this game, starting now.
Well, non-stick pans are much more efficient than pans made of sticks that you can only get in Nuneaton, for instance, sell those sorts of pots, and they're really no good at all. They don't get burnt, the soup doesn't fall through the gap. Non-stick pans are the things you should use to make eggs over easy, which I particularly enjoy, because you do need to have just a slippery little way of making these wonderful pieces of...
You burst into song!
That's how I feel about eggs over easy.
Yeah. 33 seconds, Stephen, for you to tell us something about non-stick pans, starting now.
They say that non-stick pans came about from the great space race from America, which is, I find, is a bit pointless because you don't need the eggs to stick to the pan when you're in space because of gravity. They're not going to in the first place. So I think that's a bit of a lie put out by NASA, which, as we all know, stands for National Aeronautic Space Association. Maybe. But of course, I've said that again.
Graham, you challenge.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did. Lots of courses.
Of course, yes,
and
right. And in this case, you have 10 seconds. You have non-stick pans, starting now.
Non-stick pans are covered in something called Teflon. Bill Clinton is often referred to as the Teflon president, because nothing...
Clem Troy Jones.
Repetition of Teflon.
Teflon.
Yes.
You had Teflon there. Clement, another point to you, and another. Once again, you've got in with 3 seconds to go. Non-stick pans, starting now.
Peter Pan's uncle was called non-stick pans.
Clement Royd speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and with the other points he gained in the round, he's moved forward. He's now one ahead of Graham Norton in the lead, followed by Stephen Frost and Martin Jarvis in that order. And Stephen Frost, your turn to begin on the subject, passing the buck. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It wasn't me. I sacrificed my point there, the humour.
You just come here to get laughed. You don't bother about getting it, do you?
As soon as I get it, I'm off.
Clement, yes, hesitation. So you have 56 seconds on passing the buck, starting now.
Passing the buck is a Republican phrase for people who do not recognise the authority of Her Majesty the Queen. They walk down the Mall, and when they see Buckingham Palace, they pass the buck. To hell with royalty, they say, pass the buck. And in fact, it is making someone else responsible for whatever action or lack thereof they indulge in.
Graham Norton challenge.
I was just punctuating it.
I know.
It seemed to be a full stop. I thought I'd signal it.
So you tell us something about passing the buck, Graham, with 28 seconds available, starting now.
Buck is another word for dollar, which is a way of saying old rubbish 70s group. They weren't so much passed as abandoned. Who knows what happened to them? I can't imagine what they're doing right now. Perhaps a little washing up, some light television reading, writing a letter, reading a good book.
Stephen Frost, a challenge.
Tradition of reading.
Yes, there's a bit too much reading there. Yeah. So, Stephen, you've listened well. You've got 4 seconds to tell us a joke or talk on the subject. Passing the buck, starting now.
Passing the buck is what female rabbits do after they finish mating.
So, Stephen Foster speaking as a whistle. Wayne gained an extra point for doing so. And we're moving into the last round. Alas, the subject is raspberries. It's a good subject to talk about, isn't it, and talk on? And who begins it? Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. Tell us something about raspberries. I don't know how much they figure in your life, but talk on it. 60 seconds now.
While backpacking in India, I stumbled upon a guru. He asked me a very solemn question. What's pink and hairy and goes up and down? The answer, of course, is a raspberry in a lift. Raspberries are small fruits with quite a lot of hair on them, and thus I feel a strange affinity to them. As a schoolboy, we went raspberry picking. You're too late to save me now, kind audience. My sister and myself weren't paid very much in those hot fields.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammatical.
What?
My sister and I.
Oh.
No, I've always wanted to know that. I'm thrilled.
I think the only fair thing to do is to give Clement Freud a point for the fact that it was a legitimate challenge in the sense that it was accurate, but also be very unfair to take the subject away from Graham.
Yes.
So he gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 18 seconds. Raspberries.
I think you'll be getting it very soon.
Raspberries, starting now.
Raspberries are wonderful fruits, and I don't...
Stephen Trostchild.
Repetition of fruit.
You had the fruit before, yes.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes. Stephen.
I drifted into a sense memory.
Yes. You have 13 seconds. Tell us something about raspberries in this game, starting now. Martin, you can.
I don't know how you would spell that, but I think it's a repetition of...
So, Martin, we're going to hear from you on raspberries, and there are 9 seconds available, starting now.
In America, a raspberry is known as a Bronx cheer. I don't know why that should be so, but all I can tell you is it's a wonderful way of...
So, Martin Jarvis, speaking as the whistle wind, gained that extra point, and in doing so, he has moved forward and is equal with Stephen Frost in third place. And just out, well, not just out, a little way out in front of them were our two leaders, but 1 point separated them. Graham Norton was 1 point behind Clement Freud, so this week we say, Clement Freud, you're the winner. So it only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid and talented players of the game, Graham Norton, Clement Freud, Martin Jarvis and Stephen Frost. Also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping with the score and blowing her whistle. And also we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We thank our producer, Chris Neal, for all his contribution to the show. And we are delighted to thank our audience here in Chester, who've encouraged us on our way in such a warm and friendly and courteous way. And so from the people of Chester, from my panel, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.